Parsh Ve'erim.
You didn't get to hear me speak today.
Oh, Shalshulis.
Shalshulis.
Okay. Maybe we can say something over Shalshulis. Say it over. Parshas Ve'erim, Makis, is truly its Mutamadi Saidis Amunah. Rabbi Yisum says over and over in the Psukim, Dabur Teda, Kani Hashem, the variations thereof, the Tachlis of the Makis was that Mitzrayim and thus the world should know that the Rabbi Yisum runs the world. In fact, the Malbim over here brings that there's three points of Amunah that a Yid has to have. And he talks about the Pratis, we'll go into all the Pratim, how the Makkas brought out each of these three things. There's three things to know. First thing, and there's three types of Kaifrim. They're those who deny Bechlal the existence of the Rabbeinu Shalom. They say the world happened. It happened. The world happened. Well, how did it happen? Whatever. The Big Bang Theory, evolution. It just happened by whatever the case may be. Whatever the case may be, it happened. Right? So on that, the Rabbi Nishom sends the Makis, Levar Mitzias Hashem. And what does the Pasuk say? Bezois Teida Ki Ani Hashem. With this you'll know that I am Hashem. There's Hashem in the world. It's not a free-for-all. It didn't come by itself. Ki Ani Hashem. Bezois Teida Ki Ani Hashem. There's a second group of Kaifer. They say no. It actually defies logic to say that world came by itself. It defies logic. As much as we would say this table just showed up by itself one day in shul, your guy makes a shul, and he says, okay, I need furniture, it'll happen by itself. I'll wait a year, I'll wait 2 years, I'll wait 1 million years, I'll wait 1 billion years, it'll happen by itself. After 1 billion years, still not going to happen. So it's pashut, they'll agree that the Rabbi Shalom made the world. But he doesn't come down. After he made the world, l'mashul, you buy a table, right? You go to the manufacturer, you buy the table. After you buy the table, is the carpenter involved in this table? No, he doesn't come to shul here, he doesn't come to Shari Torah. We don't even know who made it. Yeah, actually we do. Some kibbutz are Tishrol, they made the wood, whatever, they made the Arun Kaidish. Do they come here? No, there'd be a problem. Maybe we call them. Are they involved? None of them. So the second group, Rahman al-Islam says, Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world. There's no other way to, we have to admit that. But he has no shaykhs here. Ram al kol goyim Hashem, we say now. Pasuk until Ram al kol goyim Hashem. The Rabbi Nishon, the Goyim say, he's mighty. We agree. Okay, we can see there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. All kinds of things happen. Makkas happen, Kriyas Yams have happened. We can see there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ram al kol goyim Hashem, he's high and mighty. It doesn't come down to us. He leaves us to our own devices. Yeah, you buy a car. That's on you, you're on your own. You gotta go to the auto mechanic. But you know, you can't go to the manufacturer every time. And certainly if you need gas, you don't go to the manufacturer. You're on your own. That's the second group. And that group is Kaifer Nashgacha Pratis. For that we have the second group of Makkas. And that second group of Makkas, the Pasuk, instead of saying just simply Kiyanei Hashem, what does the Pasuk say? The Pasuk says, Leman Teda, Ki Ani Hashem, Bekerev Oretz. I am Hashem, Bekerev Oretz. Roma Kol Goyim Hashem, and what do we answer back? Roma Kol Goyim Hashem, Amashpili Lirois, Rabchai Belozer says, Amashpili Lirois, Bashamayim Uvaretz. Yes, the Rabbi Yisrael is a Roma Kol Goyim, but he's Mashpili, lowers himself down. Bashamayim Oretz, he's everywhere. Rabbi Yisrael is everywhere, and that's Ratzon Hashem to be everywhere. That's Gufa Ratzon Hashem to make a world, a Bria, hands on. Mechadosh Betuvai, Bechol Yom Tamid, Masa Bereshit. The Rabbi Yisrael is recreating all the time. That's the second group. Leman Teilek in Hashem, Bekerav Oretz. I'm here amongst you. The third group says, okay, is Ashkacha Pratis. We agree. We can't argue. We see the world. It's just, there's no way to explain the world. There's no way to explain all the things that go on in this world. There's a Rabbi Yisrael managing the world, obviously. There's all kinds of natural disasters in the world of high tech this year alone. The last few months alone, the world of the most developed world shayach that we're dealing here with in the year 5778. We're dealing, the world is the most developed it's ever been. And yet there's more natural disasters. And the more we develop, the more Rabbi Shalom, you're forgetting that Rabbi Shalom in the world, he's a reminder. A hurricane, we have no control. A flood here, mamish, we're hearing your hair stands on end. Your hair stands on end. Olahefech, the mere fact that we eaten are here is the biggest miracle. Shas, Rabbi Yaakov Emden says in the Siddur, that's the biggest miracle, bigger than Kriyas Yamsu, that we're here. A few goyim sit up and notice. Mark Twain sat up and noticed, wrote an essay on it. We're here, and the percentage of Yidden that are prominent, it defies reason. It's the biggest ness of all. As a Rabbi Yisrael, even I'm a... So what's the third group going to say already? The third group says, yes, but there's partners in this. There's others. It's not the only one. And we know the Neitzim are very big into that, right? And others, they have Shutfin. There's a Shutfin. This is not only... So the third thing needs to be to know Hashem Echad, Shema Echad. There's a mitzvah of Shema Yisrael. There's only the Rabbi Yisrael. Only Rabbi Yisrael. There is no other Kaich in the world. And what's the pasuk for that? That's the last group of Makkas. Now that, Ki Ein Kamayni B'chol Ha'aretz. And Amalim points out three different psukim, three different times in the Makkas, different stages, to point out these three things. The Makkas came to prove, Aleph, that Rabbi Yisrael created the world, Beis, that Ashkacha Pratis, Rabbi Yisrael is hands on, and Gimel, there is no other clash in the world but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ein Kamayni B'chol Ha'aretz.
How do you divide 10 makos over three different categories?
So he talks about that and says Makos Bechayrus is not min aminyan, because Makos Bechayrus was just the einish to get them out of Mitzrayim, because Paro wouldn't loosen the grip, he just refused to believe. So it's the nine, and he divides them into groups of three each. And he explains Bepratis here in the Malbim how to do it. So if all this is happening, and that's the Yisayda Dover, where did Paro go wrong? And what is this? What is there for us to learn from the fact that Paro went wrong? What's the nakuda here for us? The Torah is Mairich Ma'oid in Paroi. What's it mean to us? Where did Paroi go wrong? And what do we have to learn from that? The Pasuk repeats a theme the entire time. V'yachsav lei Paroi. Kovid lei Paroi. V'yechbad lei Paroi. The Yisayda Dabar was not in the Mayach. It was seems to be constantly in the lave. Not a Mayach issue, it's a lave issue. It wasn't an intelligence issue, intellectual issue. It was a lave, an emotional issue. What's the point here? What does that mean? That means that intellectually, Paroi understood there has to be a Kodesh Baruch. This doesn't work. This has to be a Rabbi Yisrael. Moshe Beinu comes, Aaron HaKohen comes, he tells the Rabbi Yisrael, they predict exactly what's going to happen, and it happens. Obviously, there's a Rabbi Yisrael here. There's nothing to talk about. Intellectually, he understood there has to be a Rabbi Yisrael here. Intellectually, he understood that even though in Naftira, he claimed that he made the Nile, that's intellectually, that didn't work. That might work for other people. It didn't work for him. It didn't work for him, yeah? Everything, this happens all the time. The Medrash says there are four people who declared themselves to be divine. They might. The Welt says the ärgste Krank is Ein Rednish. The worst sickness is to talk yourself into something. That's worse than everything. You're a doctor. It's the worst thing. Guy comes to the doctor. If he has EPS a problem, the doctor can help him. But if it's Ein Gerät, he talked himself into it. There's nothing you can do for him. What can you do? Then you have to become a psychologist. So, which I'm sure you are as well. So Lemaisa, then you have to do that because there's no other way to cure him. So all these people declare themselves a god. That's their problem. Intellectually, you can't accept them. So it's an emotional issue. It's a lave issue. What does that mean? To feel it, to act on that feeling, to want to feel it, to work on your feelings. Ki kovei lave paro. The Medrash says that ki kovei lave paro. The Medrash says that. Very interesting twist on the word kaved. Kaved simply means pashup shot. Kaved some lashon becomes weighty, becomes heavy. His heart became heavy. His heart became heavy. What does that mean? The Medrash says it's a lashon of a kaved. A kaved also, besides meaning heavy, means the liver. The liver is the kaved. His heart turned into a liver. He had no heart left. Does that mean he had no heart left? What does that mean? Move on to another medrash. There's a medrash that Yalkut brings down. It brings a beautiful story. We know that Chazal and Lahavdol in the secular world, to bring out a mashal, they went to the animal kingdom and brought examples and stories and parables from the animal kingdom. In the animal kingdom, once the king decided to reward his loyal subjects and went on a cruise. Who wouldn't want to go on the royal cruise with the king? He goes on the cruise as his trusted advisor, the fox, of course, the wise animal. And they're on a cruise. And everything's fine. What can be better? And all of a sudden, the ship stops. And the king says, what's going on over here? What's going on? The advisors on the ship, they tell the king, listen, Adoni HaMelech, there's a toll booth set up by the government. The chamor mans the toll booth, the donkey. And he's here stopping the boat, collecting the toll. And the king says, well, tell him it's the king's boat. Let us through. They come back, they say, the chamor lost this, she's not letting. Because he says, he works for the king, he's got to take the toll. The king says, I'm going to take care of it. The lion gets up there, takes one look at the donkey, and gives him a swipe with the paw and the claw. Nice donkey, the donkey's gone, he's dead, he's laying on the deck, and they sail through, everything's fine. And the king is smoldering angry at this donkey, as one could only imagine. And the king says to his fox, his trusted advisor, I want a feast of this donkey. Cut him up into pieces, lay it out on the deck, and I'm going to feast on this donkey. The ultimate revenge. Eats him up for dinner. That's the ultimate revenge. Okay? Fine. The fox, the king goes under, goes to his quarters, and on the deck, the fox takes the dead donkey and cuts him up into pieces, makes a tantalizing meal for the king. Here he puts the leg, you know, a pulka of the chamar, and here he puts an arm, a fligula, and here he puts the here, and all the different parts of the meat of the chamar. Gets to the heart, puts that out. The fox looks at it. Chaps a taiva, that's just a desire to just eat that himself for a snack. The fox is a little fox, but the heart of the chamar looks tasty. You know, big meat's not for him, but it's like the heart. On the other hand, the king wants his heart. The king's coming tomorrow. The king's coming soon. He's going to see, check out the body. He can't hold himself back. He just gobbles up that heart. He'll deal with it. King comes at his appointed time. So he's checking out his meal. His ultimate revenge, a sweet revenge. Revenge is a dish, best dish served cold, right? This is it. So he's got the revenge. He's going to eat up the chamar. And he looks around. He says, my dear fox, where's the heart? And the fox looks up sweetly at the king and smiles. My dear king, this chamar has no heart. A chamar that stops the king that has no heart. He has no heart. You're looking for a heart. He has no heart. There's no heart here. How do you state the Yalkut?
Clever.
What does the Yalkut want to say? The fox is clever, but there's such a deep message over here. What's the deep message? Somebody who defies the king has no heart. That's the pshat in the pasuk. He has no heart. Paroi goes ahead. Ki kovet lev paroi. He took his heart away. He was mevatel his koyach of the heart. What's the koyach of the heart? To have a feel for something. Paroi went ahead and negated the koyach of his heart. Like the chamor. He has no heart. Paroi vayechbad lev paroi. He turned his heart into a liver. It didn't function as a heart. He has no more feeling. He has no more hergish. And that's where he went wrong. Paroi, to fortify himself, took away his koyach of the heart. He had no koyach of the heart. He defied Melech Malchim Elohim. And when it was obvious there's a king, intellectually there's a king, you can't deny there's a king. Who's a fool to say there's no king? A Melech Malchim Elohim created the world. But if there's no heart, you don't want to feel it. So then you can say all kinds of things. I'm not interested in feeling. I'm not interested in being meshubid like the chamar. I'm not interested in doing what the king wants. So the mayach says yes, but my leiv says no, I don't feel it, I'm not going to do it. And this point of how intellectually it was so clear, but it was emotional, and he didn't want to accept he was a king. We have three examples, and two of them we said at Shal Shudan. We'll quickly say them over.
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
So the caveat, if that was like literally or figuratively, however we understand it, as you described, but what is the function of a caveat?
A caveat is actually, the Chazal say that kas comes from the caveat. Hard meters come from the kaved. The kaved gives out tough meters. So a person needs toughness sometimes too. But when your whole heart, your everything is tough, that's what results in the parah. The Chazal brings some different from it's a gemara as well, that a kaved is where the kas comes from. So parah became kulei cruel, kulei hard, kulei not interested in having any feeling, only hard feelings, only gevura. Okay, that's what you end up with. What's that?
Apathetic.
It's more than apathetic. It's actually cruel. Directly Sorry. Defiant. It's much more than apathetic. Apathetic's parv. He became not parv. He became defiant and brazen. And he became a murid b'malchus. We brought three examples.
Hashem did that to him.
And only the last five makas, because he lost his bechir, as the Rambam says, the chesuva. That was his oinish for five makas that he had a chance, and v'yechsak, v'yechbad, all that was his own doing. After that, it wasn't nagei anymore. After that, it was over. He had his chance. And the only reason we had five more makas is for the Malbim, to let the world know that there's a Rebbein to go through Ashkocha Pratis and to go through Ein Kamayni B'chal Aretz. But as far as Pari was, it was over. It's not just there was five on an undeserving person. It was over. He had five chances and it was over. Talked about it, Shal Shudas. Tremendous diyukim in the pasuk. the pasuk, we know that before the makas even started, there's a pre-makas. There's a pre-makas meeting between Moshe, Aaron, and Paray. And Paray brings in his chartumah. What did they do? They went to impress Paray. There's a rabbi from the world. They brought the matah. They brought the stick. And what did the stick do? They made it into a snake. Okay, Paray sees a snake. What's his reaction? Chartumah can do this as well. I'm not impressed. Okay, you know what? We'll give him slack. Mitzrayim was the center of Kishuf in the world. Kishuf in the world. So therefore, the Medrash says that he even called little children and told them, oh, go do this. They were able to do it. So imagine you tell a nursery class, like somebody, I'll build some beautiful thing out of Legos. And you'll say, whoa, very impressive. Well, I can't. But let's say somebody who could. My kids. My grandchildren. They'll build something nice out of Legos. Then you'll say, well, that's nice. Here, call the nursery out. They'll do the same thing. What's the big thing? Anybody could do that in America. Could build something nice out of Legos. So you tell me, Kishuv, I'm surprised. Bring out the little kids in Medrash. Anybody can do it. And Pasuk he brought, he started with the top, the Chartumim. Then he wanted to embarrass them, brought the little kids. So then what do? They went step two. They went ahead, and Moshe's stick swallowed, the iron stick swallowed up. Iron stick swallowed up all this. Fine. And what is Parah's reaction? Nothing. The Esalat Parah. Okay. L'chayra, we can excuse him, say Vayter Kishuv. We get to Makas Dam, we get to the first Makas. An interesting lashon. When Paray didn't listen, Vayif and Paray v'yovah basically shas liba. He didn't listen. Gam lezois, even to this. What's even to this? What's the even? This is the first makkah. There is no other makkah. This is it. So Rashi says gam lezois to that maifus that we had earlier that the stick turned into a snake. But that's a pelu. The pasuk itself said he didn't listen. I need a repeat of that pasuk. The pasuk earlier said that they did that maifus and he didn't listen. Why would we repeat that he didn't listen again by makas dam? What's the connection to makas dam? He didn't. Then he didn't now. When we get to the later makas, do we repeat he didn't listen by the earlier makas? Veloishos libay gam lezayis. He didn't listen also to this. The Rashi says also meaning that first maifus. What's the connection? Zucker bitzikl hamburger. He was an Ibi Yehuda's Mechutna and the Rav Shitzur Zeidin, and Rabbi Yonis and Ibi Shitzur's successor in Rav in Hamburg. And he says, I'm married to Kipshah, married to Kmeduyeng. Why is that? Because as we said earlier, his excuse is Kishuv. Mitzrayim is the center of Kishuv in the world. So I'm not impressed. Everything you do, I can say Kishuv. But yet sometimes Kishuv has its boundaries, as we see by Makas Kinan. Over there, the Chartumah said, Paray, Etz Belekimu. This is it, this is God. Well, how do they know? So we know because Kinan was so small, Kishuv can't create Kishuv that small. It was clearly Hashem. So Kishuv has its boundaries. There's a book of Kishuv of what you can do and what you can't do. And Paray knew, and they knew, because they're experts in Kishuv. Zucker Bitzel Hamburger is a Zohar HaKadosh that Kishuv, to swallow one thing should swallow another thing, only an animate thing. An inanimate object can't do that. A stick cannot swallow up and kishuv other things. A snake can, but a stick cannot. If that's the case, at the end of the maifus, the stick of iron swallows up their sticks, it's clearly not kishuv. Kishuv can't make an inanimate object do it. So then why then didn't they exclaim Etz Belekimi as they would do later on by Makas Kinim? What happened? So he says, because Paru became a lamdan. Remember, this is the Paru who has no heart. He's not interested in feeling anything that intellectually is so clear. So he comes up with a murdikah feeling, and he says the following Paru. He says, here, what happened over here? They went ahead and brought a stick. And the stick they turned into a snake. And then what happened? Then the stick turned into swallowed other sticks. We still have to ask Kasha. Why do they again have to make a stick? Let iron snakes swallow up all the other snakes. And Rashi says clearly, it says it in the pasuk, but Rashi makes a big deal of it. Rashi says, Chozer v'nase mate boles akulam. So it seems to be a doggish, seems to be a very much a point here to make that it became a stick again. Why? Because it's the stick that's the maifus. Without the stick swallowing up other sticks, you can say kishuv. That's why they made a big deal, made the snake back into a stick, and the stick swallowing, Rashi says it out clearly, to show Paray, this can't be Kishuv. So what's Paray going to say now? Paray's going to say, hold on, I wasn't here when this stick grew. I wasn't here when they cut it off a tree. They brought the stick from home. Guess what? This was really a snake all along. And then when they came here, they made it into a stick before they walked into my palace. And now this Kishuv stick swallowed up other sticks, but it's really a snake, and a snake Kishuv can do the same thing. I'm not impressed. because this stick is not a stick, it's a snake. They just making it look like a stick to fool me because they know that kishuv, a stick can't swap sticks. So they made this stick look like a snake, but it's really a snake. I don't know. I wasn't here at the origin of the stick. Okay? There's no way to impress him. He's not going to be impressed. Okay. So now we get to Makas Dam. Makas Dam. How does Makas Dam begin? Aaron takes a stick, hits the water. Gemara and Sanhedrin, in our night coil. Gemara and Sanhedrin, some of Zion of Abayz. The Gemara brings a story, a Meredith story. Ziri comes to Mitzrayim. He lands in Mitzrayim, Alexandria. Great metropolis in Mitzrayim. He needs transport. He goes ahead, as we would do, and he buys himself some cheap donkey. No, he needs his donkey to move. He takes the donkey out, gives it to drink. Donkey drink, gets into contact with water. Oh, he's a donkey. He's no more donkey anymore. Becomes a plank of wood. And he chaps, whoa, what is kishuv? They fooled me. They cheated me here. They ripped me off. This is a plank of wood. Through kishuv, is Rashi's Masbeder. This is kishuv. Goes back to get his money back. And they tell him, oh, if you wouldn't be Ziri, we'd never give you your money back. Everybody knows this is Mitzrayim. This is the place of kishuv. Right? As Pare said, Tevinata, maybe you're bringing, as they say in English, coast to Newcastle. You bring kishuv to Mitzrayim, right? It comes from here. This is where it comes from. Kishuv to Mitzrayim. This is it. This is the place of kishuv. So what happened? What did the seller tell Ziri? In our, when people buy anything here, they check it against the water. Because water negates all kishuv. Water is mevatel kishuv. And if you don't, it's your own risk. It's your problem. So I'm not obligated to give you, but you're Ziri. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to be nice to you. I'm going to be nice to Ziri. What do we learn from this Gemara Sanhedrin? Another limitation on kishuv. Water takes away the original kishuv. It negates it. It goes back to its natural state. You take the matah now. Beautiful. You take this matah. You hit the water. Pare claims this matah is really a snake. But it hit the water. It's a kishuv is bottle. What should the stick become? It should become a snake. It did not. Retroactively, we see that the original maifus is real. Now that the truth is evident, he still didn't listen. Not only did he not listen to the original maifus, he didn't listen to the dam. But both got intellectually proven at the same time. And it's so meduyip. The Matifraim's older brother, Absender, heard the vort, and he said, that must be why it says at the beginning of Makas Dam, Rabbeinu Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu, you're going to go ahead and do the makas. I want you to do something special for me. Take the stick. But should have simply said, Hamata tikha biyodecha, doesn't. Hamata shenepach lenochash tikha biyodecha. The mata that turned on, what is that in that vein? What's that relevant here? That's old news. No, the mata that turns on nochash, bring it and prove that this is a mata that turned to a nochash. And you're going to prove that retroactively. And he did. And Pari still didn't accept it. Why? Because he has no heart. He's not interested. He doesn't want to. He works on himself to negate the heart. Intellectually, there's no way to escape anymore. There's no way to escape. And then we get to Makas Dever.
That just points out that by the Makas Dam, Emor Lara, because you, Moshe, were saved by the Yor.
Correct. Now, Karsa Tait.
So that's the reason why you have to use the Mata of Ar. But by the snake, why do you have to use the Mata of Ar?
Well, Maisa was the same Mata. It does say it was Mata Ar, but Yivla Mata Ar is Mata Isa. No, but it works. It's consistent. It's the same Matar. It's the same Matar. No, that's a different Shaila. For our purposes, it's the same Matar, and it works.
Yeah, no, I'm asking that.
Oh, Stam. Okay, we have to deal with that. It's a Stam of Shaila. What's the role of Matar? What's the role of Mate Moshe? There's two Matas? Yeah, there's two Matas. One's Mate Moshe, one's Matar. Different Svarim, because some are Svarim. There's Svarim from Moshe's, right? Mate Moshe's, Matar.
Which one? Sorry.
Now they're using Matar. Now they're using Matar. Yeah. We get to Makas Dever. And Makas Dever, thousands, maybe millions of animals are wiped out. Wiped out, just wiped out. And we all know the wealth was measured in animals, in holdings of animals in those days. Wiped out. Terrible Makka. And he was warned. Yad Hashem hoya b'miknecha. Machar yeh, you're going to see a maifus. What's going to be the maifus? Now, of course, somebody who scoffs, who's a letz, whose mevatel has no heart, what is he going to say? He's going to say, Pashut. There's a plague. There's plagues today on animals, on birds, all kinds of things. Millions of birds at some point a couple of years ago, they were killing birds, chickens. It was a whole sickness, right? So he's going to say it's a sickness relevant to the animals. It's no big thing. No, the point of this makkah was Hifla Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to make the difference. The Jews, their animals are going to live. Oh, it's clearly not just a sickness. It's clearly something out of the ordinary. Clearly the Rabbi Nishlam. That's the makkah's dever, right? The Hifla Hashem, that's the whole point of the dever, is the Hifla Hashem. Hifla Hashem. What happens? Okay. So Parai doesn't care that he lost millions of behemoths. What does he care about? He cares about the Hifla Hashem. He wants to see if this Makkah is a Makkah. Because that's all he cares about. His Mechama is an Amuna. That's his Mechama. He forgot about all his wealth and all his might. He's on a one-on-one battle with the Rabbi Nishlam. He wants to just not have to admit that there's Rabbi Nishlam here. So he's out to check the Vehifla, the difference between Jews and Goyim. So what does he do? So it says over here, the pasuk tells us before he even tried the experiment, don't even bother. Not one Jewish animal died. Not one Jew's animal died. But Pari sends out. Vayishlach Pari. Vihine loy meis mikne so ad echad. Vayichbad lei Pari. Pari hardened his heart. What happened? Interesting difference in lashon. Vihine loy meis mi mikne Yisrael. Beforehand said b'nei Yisrael, and the second time when Pari sent out says mikne Yisrael. The first time says loy meis echad, and here it says loy meis ad echad. What's the difference? So one of them, if I say from the Vilna Gaon, others say from others, the Ramban in Parshas Emor brings a shita from the Chachmei Tzarfas that they held before Matan Torah, being Jewish was a paternal issue, not a maternal issue. So your father was Jewish, you were Jewish, mother was Jewish, and the father was not, the person was a Goyim, not like it was after Matan Torah. Wasn't really relevant because Jews didn't intermarry. It's one of the few things that happened in Mitzrayim, that our wives, that as we find out later on by Midbar and by the minion over there, Hashem put his name there, but the women stayed Jews and there was no intermarriage. So they had only both Jewish parents. Where Chapsach and Afkemina, there was one woman who was somewhat of a prutza, and a goy Nebuch forced himself with her, and that was the mitzvah that Moshe Rabbeinu killed, and he had his way with Shleimis Bas Divri, a woman Shleimis Bas Divri, and they had a child. That child grew up, and Nebuch became the Megadef, the Mekalel, as Hashem, in Parshas Emor, and he was killed. So that was Shleimis. So who was he at this point? As far as Pari is concerned, he's living with his mother, he's Jewish. In Halacha, before Matan Torah, Goyish father, he's not Jewish. Mimikne b'nei Yisrael loimeis echa. From real Jews, not one Jew's animal died. But Pari sends out, he says, check everybody, I want to know everybody. And what does he find out? Loimeis mimikne Yisrael, from Jews in general, not b'nei Yisrael, real Jews. Mikne Yisrael, those living in the Jewish quarters, ad echad, except for one. Which one? Shleimus Bas Divri's son, because he's a goy. His animals are around. So Pari says, there's no Hifla Hashem. There's no Hifla Hashem here. Vayichbele Pari. You have millions of goyims, millions of animals dying. All the Jews, their animals are one Jew. There's a kasha on one Jew. It fits like a glove millions of times. Millions of goyim lose millions of Jews. How many Jews there are? Let us say 600,000, but 5 times 5, because of Makas Chayshich. So there's millions of Jews, and all their animals are alive, except for one. Pari says, okay, stop. Why? He has no heart. He's grasping at anything. He does not want to feel a Shibut HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The third time, next week, is Makas Bechayrus. Gemara and Brachas, the Rabbi Yisrael tells Moshe, that when you tell him about Makas Bechayrus, tell him Kachatzois alayla niyotze, Kachatzois around Chatzois. Frank the Gemara, Kachatzois, Bachatzois. Rabbi is coming exactly at Chatzois. Zuck the Gemara, because the Paris people are going to say, their watch is going to be off, right? They didn't have such a good watch. They didn't have a Swiss time watch, and they're going to say it wasn't exact. Think about that for a moment. So my Rebbe said once in Shir, think about this for a moment. In one moment, the same moment all over Mitzrayim, hundreds of thousands of people just dropped dead. Just dropped dead. Every house, there's somebody who dropped dead. Every house. All at the same time. Everybody checks their clock. Moshe said 12. It's 12:01. It's not coming in a Shamayim. What is it? No idea. Not one Jew has died. In every home, a goy has died. And what? Kichatzais makes a difference. What doesn't make any sense? Intellectually, has no pshat. It's a lev. They don't want. You don't want. You don't want to feel anything to Rabbi Shimon. You grasp at anything. You say, okay, this is just some Egyptian personal plague. It makes no sense. It has no pshat. It has no pshat. Kichatzais. 1 minute off. We're not accepting Max B'chayes. So just say kichatzais. The Yisayra Dover is that this is the parai. To Emuna is Pashit, and this is what we need to learn from it. Emuna intellectually is Pashit Aleph Beis. It's Pashit Aleph Beis. It's when one works on his lev and doesn't want, that's when it all happens. Lemaisa. We find that not only is one obligated, Pari considered a Russia because he actually went actively to negate the normal heart and took away his own heart. At the end, he was Kilu, he had no heart because he made himself not feel anything. He made himself like a stone, like a liver, that he has no heart, he has no feelings. He made it, he did it on his own. So he was a Peshaya. There's even a level less that Chazal tell us is not a good thing. Gemara tells us in Saita, Gimahoyu Ba'isa Eitzu. Three people were in the plan. The master plan at the beginning of Shemais, when Parai gathers together his advisors, what am I going to do with the Jewish problem? For a thing that repeats itself throughout the Torah, he gathered the advisors, what's the Jewish problem? What are we going to do with the Jews? And he has there his three wise men, Bilam, Yisrael, and Eiv. Bilam, enthusiastic, says, let's do away with the Jews. Let's do what we have to do. Okay, that's the master plan that happened to Mitzrayim, and Bilam got his due punishment much later. Yisrael couldn't handle this. He saw he's on the losing end of this. He just ran away. Eiv shasak, Eiv was silent. Why was he silent? Because he wasn't interested in this. We find out who this Eiv is. That Eiv, the pasuk says, a yorist of our Hashem, who was frightened from Hashem, brought things inside, brought the animals inside by Makas Borat. So the medrash, who is Yorid Var Hashem? It's Raim. Wow, it's Raim, Yorid Var Hashem. We haven't met them yet. Yeah, Eiv, one person. That's Eiv. That's who it is. Yorid Var Hashem. So Eiv is considered Yorid Var Hashem. And Eiv, the Gemara Baba Basra says wonderful things on Eiv. Wonderful things at the beginning of the first, end of the first barak. So this Eiv, Shosak, he was quiet. He didn't want to, he saw which way the wind was blowing. There's nothing to say. There's no way to protest. So he said nothing. What does the Gemara say? Nidain bi Yisurim. Eiv's Yisurim. Yisur Eiv. Till today, when we talk about the worst suffering a person can ever have, it's Eiv. Eiv lost it all. Terrible, terrible. It was saved for Eiv. Terrible things. Frank Tzachdekasha. What is the difference between Eiv and Yisrael? Both had the exact same effect on the tribe's decision. Yisrael and Eiv. Yisrael runs away and Eiv stays there. But they both had the same effect. Both didn't take part and both didn't say no because there's no point in saying no. Maybe it was dangerous to say no. So what's the difference between them? What's the difference between them? What's the difference? And why would Eiv get Yisur? Where's the Midah Kenega Midah? They should be punished with suffering, with being pushed, suffering, with pain, terrible pain. External, internal. What's the Midah Kenega Midah? Zokrub Chaim Briska, Yudua. He says, Aklal in Yiddish. Ventzutut vei shreitman. That's the Yisrael Adar. When it hurts, you call, you scream out, you yell. When it hurts, you yell. Yisrael, it hurt, he ran away, right? So it hurt him. But he ran away, screamed wherever he was, screamed and cried for the Jews. Eiv was able to take it. You know what? If you stand there and you're quiet, that means it doesn't bother you so much. Because if it bothers you, you can't hold it back. When a person stubs his toe, is he interested in screaming? He's not interested in screaming, but he just did it. And instinctively, you yell out in pain. You yell out. Is he interested in yelling out? No, he's interested in yelling out. He can't hold back. It just happens. If Eiv really cared, if it bothered, if he had a heart the way a person's supposed to have a heart, he would yell out because it just happens by itself. You don't have. You can't yell out. Zokter Baisham, you want to see yelling out? Let's give you Yisurim. Now you'll yell. Now you'll have to yell. Now you'll have to complain. And then Eiv had to go through his whole Nisayim. Yisurim, that was his ticket. The whole Eiv, the Sefer Eiv. But that was the Midah Kenegad Midah. That's the Eiv Alev. A person has to have a heart. He has to feel. He has to feel. He can't. So even Parai was terrible. He went ahead and negated his heart. But even Eiv made as if he had no heart. That too is not good. Lehefech, what's a Yid? Let's take a look at the Yid. Let's look at Moshe Rabbeinu. As Erez mentioned, Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't do the first three makas. Why couldn't he do the first three makas? Hakar Sataif. Hakar Sataif to whom? To a river. To earth. What's going on over here? What is that? Inanimate objects. So we're not going into other pshatim. Sar, kipshuta mamish. What's the pshat? We're going to shita mukubetzes and bavakama brings on maisis in Torah that they came about a bathhouse. There's a Torah. And the Rav recused himself in paskening. Why? Because he had Hanoah. He used to go to that merchatz. He used that bathhouse. I can't pasken that bathhouse. But is the bathhouse going to come? And the bathhouse going to come to you? No, I have a good feel for this bathhouse. Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not the pshat that the river will come complain, that the earth will come complain to Moshe. Who can bring themselves to do that? It says a chshivas. It has a chshivas. It's a table we learn on. Am I going to be mavazed at this table? It's something. It's a sefer. It has kedusha. It's chashiv. Moshe Rabbeinu had a type from this piece of land, from this river, from this water. He couldn't bring themselves. It's not a halacha in the water. It's not a halacha in the earth. It's a halacha in Moshe Rabbeinu. How could he do anything to it? Midas, it's not a point in the recipient, it's a point in us, and everything's like that. Shiluch HaKein and Tzar Belachayim, it's more important where we are holding. That's the most important part. Where are your Midas? It's to build you. Where are your Midas? Where are you holding? That's a lathe. That's a yid. The lead has to have a lathe that feels, even an inanimate object, to act in not in according with Midas Davis. That's the there's the chesaron. That's the extremes here. Pari has no lave to feel what is so obvious, and Moshe Rabbeinu has a heart that even on inanimate objects, they don't feel anything. There's no intellectual reason b'chlal to have rachmanis on them. He can't bring himself to do it. That's the pshat. Where is it relevant to us? To us, hergel nasa teva. We get so used to it, we forget to be impressed. You walk out. You see the bria of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mamish the bria suei necha marim rumi bar eila. You see marabu maasecha Hashem neflois habayri. We're just so used to seeing these things. We look at the sky, we look at the earth, we see animals, we see plants. It doesn't mean much to us anymore. Some cipher says they're 40 years in the midbar. The entire old door, kemat, the entire, some exceptions, died out. So you have a new young door. They never were in Mitzrayim. What's their whole life of eating, right? Yeah, person. They're not 40 years old. They're young people, right? Some young people here under 40. So your whole life is your food comes from Shemayim. Instead of going to La Brea Kosher, for years, for decades, your food arrives from Shemayim. Arrives from Shemayim. So what does that mean to you? If you go to La Brea Kosher, and you buy a loaf of bread, what does that mean to you? Nothing. It means that you had a little money in your pocket. It means La Brea Kosher got an order of bread in. And it means you bought the bread from La Brea Kosher. It means nothing more than that. When Yidden were in the middle of 40 years, the last door, what did it mean to eat man? Nothing. It meant nothing. That's normal. If man would fall now from us here in heaven, we'd go Meshuggah, Mamash. We'd go Meshuggah from the Flois HaBari, Mamash. Man fall. Time was nothing. Zaptach Zusayvi, they came there to throw. And the Rabbi Shalom, you know what? No more mon. Oy vey, what's going to be with us? What are we going to eat? What are you going to eat? You have food? Yes. Well, take the leftover seeds. That seeds? You mean like the seeds in the apple and going to throw in the garbage? Yeah, take those seeds. What are we going to do with those seeds? Stick it in the ground. Stick it in the ground? I can put it in the garbage. Why don't I stick it in the ground? Yeah, stick it in the ground. What's going to be? Stick it in the ground. Stick seeds in the ground. Stick seeds in the ground. Yeah, what should I do now? Take a cow and take cow soya from the cow. Take manure from the cow. Put it there. They're going to make a mess in my front yard. Now do that. And now what? I'll mush up the ground. Before that, plow the ground and hoe the ground. Make a mess here. What am I doing? I'm ruining everything I have. I'm not going to have food and I don't have a yard. I have nothing. Go ahead, do it. Go ahead, do it. Okay, and now what's going to be? Wait. When the first time came, it happened a few days. Something's grew out of the ground. Whoa, the flois abayre. Something grew out of the ground. Oh, Menorah, something grew out of the ground. After that, put a seed in the ground and put garbage on it and plowed and hoed and this and that. And something grew. Oh, Menorah, Neflois Abayre. Okay, take what grew and grind it up. Rabbeinu Shalom. I finally got something. There's hope. And now I'm going to just grind it up into powder. It'll be again garbage. We'll start again. No. Take that powder. What do I do? Make a mixture of that. Make a mixture. Make dough. Put it in heat and bake it. Bread kosher, not such a portion of mice anymore. The Floy Sabari, you got the bread kosher. The Floy Sabari, just we got used to it. We need that cycle again. We'd see the mon, the Floy Sabari. But remember that when the people came out of Midbar, the mon was not the Floy Sabari, it was Pashup Shad. But was the Floy Sabari was buying the bread kosher. it's all hergel nasatev. Everything's the floisa bar. And the Ramban's going to say that next week's parsha, the upcoming parsha, everything is the Ramban. We have to remember Ramban. Intellectually, we all know Ramban. Put it in your heart. Start feeling it. That's the Ramban Shalom. That everything's the Ramban Shalom. Everything's the Ramban Shalom. Everything's the Ramban Shalom. It's the Ramban Shalom telling us. We find the parsha, Maridik in the parsha. Klal Yisrael screams out. They scream out. The Ramban Shalom says at the beginning of the parsha, I notice Klal Yisrael's crying out. And what's going to be? I'm going to save them. Why? Because the Moshe Rabbi Shem says to Moshe, Shamati as Nakas B'nai Yisrael, Hashem Mitzrayim Avid Moshe. I hear a scream that they say Mitzrayim is torturing them. I hear it. Ve'eskar es Brisi. I remember my bris. What is the connection? You know, Eskar es Brisi and Hashem and Nakas B'nai Yisrael. What does that do? Rabbi Shem heard their cry. Shemei Tefillah, Shemei Tefillah. Eskar es Brisi. We have a bracha, Shemei Tefillah. We pray Eskar es Brisi there? No. Because they remember the bris. They said, Rabbi Shem heard that Tefillah. And we move on. They accept the Tefillah. We move on. It's up to Rabbi Shem Shatzer Poler, Makubal in the 1600s. He said, no, Pshat is the Gemara Brachas tells us, Yisurim have two Mekairis, that Yisurim, pain and suffering, is Mechaper. And Chas V'Shalom does not be terrible pain and suffering. The Gemara says in Erechin, you put it in your hand, in your pocket, you pull out the wrong thing, you look for 2 cents, you pull out three, you look for three, you pull out two, the Shalom, the Gemara, exactly which way, that's also Yisurim. You stub your toe, it's also Yisurim. Right? You don't have a dollar in your pocket when you're looking for it, you can't find your keys for 5 minutes, it's also Yisurim. Ikkaris to be Mekabel, and Mekabel these Yisurim should be a Kapara. That's the Ikkar. Not to start complaining and curse the wall and curse everybody else and be angry at everybody in the family for hiding your keys that have never seen it. Just be Mekabel, Yisurim. That's it. Yisurim. I was on my way home, tried the keys, didn't work. What did they do? They changed the locks on me. What kind of people are these? They changed the locks on me. Try the keys. I get not going. The lock, either they don't work or they changed the lock. A chutzman or a landlord changed the lock. You know what? I said, you know, let me try again. Look, that's the wrong key. I'm sorry. But the key went in. Everybody's always blaming everybody else. You know what? Calm down. It's Yisurim. Just be Mekabel Ba'ava. Be Mekabel and move on. Be Mekabel. There's two Mekairis. What are the two Mekairis? The first Mekair, the Gemara says, is from an Eved. An Eved Knani goes out Lecheris if he loses a limb. Even a tooth. Shem Ayin. The next Mekair, the Gemara says, is from Melech. You salt meat, it pulls out the blood, and makes the meat. Tell takes out the blood. So if Melech, at Mamatekasab Boser, and he'd use the salt and attacks the bus, it takes it out. So Yisurim cleanse the entire group. The Gemara learns it out from a. The Gemara learns it out from a Gzeirus Shava. It says Bris B'Melach, it says Bris B'Yisurim. We learn out just like Melach. As a cleanser, Yisurim is a cleanser. Cleanses. So, what's the difference between these two sources? He says, Pashit. Let's say you want, I remember when I was a kid, we still salted chicken at home. Let's say instead of us salting the chicken at home, the neighbor would come in, see the chickens laying there, and they would salt it. Is this meat kosher? Just as kosher. Makes no chiluk. Who salts it? They salt it? Great. Or I don't need to salt. If they salt it, it's also fine. We buy our meat and chicken today, somebody else salted it, right? So we're fine with that. We don't need to salt it. But what about you have an Eved, and your neighbor comes in and smacks your Eved in the mouth and locks the tooth out. Is the Eved out to free? No. No. It has to be the other one has to do it. The master has to do it. So Kushav Shastra Polar. If one knows it is miyuchas to the Adain, then the Yisurim from Eved work. But if you don't realize it has to do with the Adain, then the Yisurim from Eved don't work. You have no source from Eved. You have to come on to the source of Riz. The Rabbi Nishlam hears. He hears us crying. What happened? But what's the cry? Asher Mitzrayim Avidim Aysam. We missed the boat. We said Mitzrayim is making us suffer. Instead of saying, Rabbeinu Shalom, you control the world, there's a master plan here. I don't understand it. We're here in Mitzrayim, we're suffering terribly. I don't have to understand, I don't need to understand, but I know you control the world. Help me. Help me, come, help us, save us, make a gula. If that's the case, Shem V'ayin, Rabbeinu Shalom himself can help you. But if you don't, you're not miyachasit, you don't associate it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then you don't have Shem V'ayin. So what's going to be with us? You need to come on to step two, to level two. What's level two? Learn how to salt. What's the lima from salt? Bris, nemer bris b'melach, nemer bris b'yisurim. Ve'ezkar es brisi, I had to remember my bris to save you. Had to remember my bris to save you. Because you missed level one, I had to come on to bris to save you. We find the Bava Rebbe was Maisif Amar de Kavshad. Today, tonight, there's a piyut that the Olam says at home or sings, Hamavdul ben kodesh l'chol, chatoseinu yimcho, zareinu v'chaspeinu yar b'kechol, right? say that Matzah Shabbos. At the end of that piyut, at the end of the piyut of Amavdul, it says, towards the end, it says, Nachnu biyotka kachayim. We're in your hand like clay, like putty in your hand. Slachnu al kavachayim. What does that mean? Forgive us for kal, for small, for lighter avers, and severe avers. Our problem is we have to wait till the bris kicks in. But what happens if we realize everything comes from the Rabbeinu Shalom? Then we could come on to Shem V'ayin. What's the Gemara called the leaf of Shem V'ayin? The Gemara Brachas calls it a kal v'chaymer. Madach, one limb sets somebody free. Yisurim that attacked the whole goof, for sure you should go free. It's a kal v'chaymer, the Gemara calls it. Nachnu biyotka kachaymer, Rabbeinu Shalom, when your hand's like putty, you control everything. You're the source of everything. It's everything. It looks like it's the goy. It looks like it's this. It looks like it's that. It's you, Rabbeinu Shalom. Hey, Bazev, that's the case. Slachno kal v'chaymer. We could just use the kal v'chaymer. We don't have to wait for the Zeir Shava of Bris. We don't need the Eskar as Brisi. The simple kal v'chaymer. Kal v'chaymer, you can make min asmara. You don't need a limud. Kal v'chaymer is automatic. It's poshut. Kal v'chaymer. This is with a yisoy that we need to learn from these parshas. So many times, something happens to us. We get frustrated. We get angry. Why do we get angry? Somebody bothered us. Zong chazal, a kayis, is kilu oived avayda zara. Why is somebody angry? So chamer, it's like avayda zara. Why? Because you're denying the source of everything. Everybody's a shliach, but the source is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The shliach is Asher Shatzadik. If he, Nebuch, was the shliach, delivered something bad to you, he gave you something bad, he hit you, then he's a bad shliach. He did something bad, and that's why he became the shliach for bad. And he's going to get it. But its source, if it wasn't that, for you, between you and the Rabbeinu Shalom, you left yourself open for this, it can't happen. And by you getting angry at the shliach for getting the source, you are kilo oivid of Arizor, you're denying the reality. And everything's like that. Whenever there's something going on, the first place, the first ad is Rabbi Shalom. Then we'll see a shtadlus what to do. But first, the first thing shtadlus is davening to Rabbi Shalom, recognizing that it comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. You can't ignore it intellectually. It's been proven already. Over and over, these three things that I'm album. There is a Rabbi Shalom who created a world. It's Ashkocha Pratz continues to be involved and control the world. And there ain't Kamayni Bechor, there is nobody else. And if that's the case, it will be only be right for us and every matzav that we're in. We miyachis it all to the Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the challenge for us to learn from these parshas, not to be a parai, but actually our lave. Just like when you go to the doctor, you want your lave. That's one of the most important things you can do, to go to your cardiologist and make sure your heart is working at its best, right? Make sure your heart is working at its best. You're not Pare's lave, but your lave is a lave. It's really a lave. It feels everything. It's Moshe Rabbeinu's Madreg, your Midas. Everything you feel your Shaykh to Rabbeinu Shalom. That's the ticking of these weeks. That's our job as Yidden. There's a health and our lave should work. We should be Mekushet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bechol Kesher Shaya HaKesher Shagayama. Well, that would be Zoycha Beis Hashem to the Gula Shleim. Amen.
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 To you.
Thank you.
What is that about the difference between the